We are back in session. Okay, we are back in session. The treasurer's report.
This is a treasurer's report. I bring you compiled by our business manager, Maria Negrette, finished yesterday evening, hot off the press. And I want to draw your attention first to this subtitle, I guess we'll call it. We've talked. We've talked often about the fact that these statements, when you get them, they're preliminary, unaudited, and this time, in desperation to get people to understand that these are working documents, they're not final contracts. Maria has added, not analyzed. In other words, we might look through here and find some very questionable item, and I'll take a note back, and it would be the kind of thing that Maria herself might find when she has time to review the document and look at it and say, wait a minute, this one thing looks out of whack. So let's see if we can find anything like that. It's a seven-month statement of income and expenses. In the far right columns, first there's the year-to-date total of all those 7 months. Then there is the budget. Now, it's just the year-to-date budget. We don't have the actual budget for the whole year in there. But in some instances, we are doing pretty well. Some were beyond the budget. So let's look first at line 10. And the columns are F, G, H. And this is where you'll find the magic money that we got in February and March. The $400,000 from the one bequest, and there's another $1,000 in there. We got that month. And then in March, there's $558,000 plus something else that came in. The next pages are the expenses. I forget what I was going to point out initially. Oh, I know. One interesting thing that people are beginning to talk about, in fact, we've talked about it frequently at meetings, is the elections that are supposed to come up. And you'll see that there are no, this is line 47, there are no expenses so far. But there is a year-to-date budget figure that has not been expended. So that is the money that has been set aside in this budget for the elections that we still expect are going to happen, I believe. Drop down just a little bit at the beginning of the administrative expenses, and you'll see a kind of odd thing in the far right-hand columns. This form is from a report that is used in the national office, and they don't lay out the numbers exactly the same way that we do or we need to look at. So you'll see a combination on the last three columns referring to combining the figures that are in lines 55 and 56. Just a little oddity to show you. Now, if anybody else has some particular item that they're drawn to and they're looking at, you got a question, why don't you bring it up and let's see what's in the report. Who's Andrea?
Check. Barbara, I don't have a specific line item question. I guess my question is that I can't remember when the last time I was actually emailed this information before the meeting so that we could actually look at it. I feel like we're not getting final stuff. It's all sort of, I mean, I guess I'm tempted to,
well,
to I'm tempted to get into the particulars, and then I go, oh, it's just a draft. Mm-hmm. I'll wait till the real thing comes out. When is the real thing coming out?
Well, there is no real thing until the fiscal year ends and all the books are audited. Okay. Now, let me just say, Maria is frustrated by how little time there is in the end of a month, after the a month closes, to make to incorporate everything that she needs to have the time to review it. And she's been saying to me the last couple of times we've produced reports like this, I really want the LSB to consider having their meetings on the third Saturday of the month. That will give her more time to have reports that are more vetted, you might say.
Well, I can understand that she's got a lot of responsibilities.
It's not
and
just
so
her,
forth.
It's the income that comes from
I understand. There's a lot of things going on. I guess I'm just asking. I totally believe you've got a lot of stuff going on. What some of us are trying to understand is what can we get this stuff sent to us via email so that we can share it?
Yes.
Okay, so I'd like that put into the minutes, if you don't mind, that we can expect an email copy of these documents.
Now, you're meaning after there's been some review?
Yeah, whatever,
and the
whatever
management
is fit for public consumption. I think mm-hmm. it would be really wonderful.
It would still
to
be
let,
preliminary.
In terms of mm-hmm. trying to, but we also, some of us are wondering, when do the books close each month?
Well, there's a,
like, do you guys have a week or 2 weeks, or what do you have?
There's argument at the management level about what's appropriate.
What is a practice?
Well, it depends on the amount of data that you deal with. And Maria would like to have 10 days. There have been business CFOs who wanted her to close everything in 5. And she doesn't get all the material from the membership people. That's where all this variety of types of income comes through.
What should we expect?
And I would think that if we do change our schedule to 3 weeks, the reports that we would have then could be more finished.
So
for right now?
What are you doing right now? What is happening?
Well, she would just turn this out like she did as a preliminary report to give us some ideas about where we are. Now, I can understand your frustration, and so maybe what we need to do is, she wouldn't necessarily have on her plate finalizing this more. They just keep working and analyzing as they go along. But if you could feel more that you can understand what's going on better, I'll make a plea for her to make a completed more, you know, and send those to you then. If you want to have this one emailed to you, as I say, it was completed yesterday evening, we can do that, but then we'll...
I'd like to see what you guys consider to be the closed books, like once it's done. Like you have to close your books at the end of a month.
No.
So we'd like to look at that.
I think that there's a problem of communication here, because I think what I'm hearing is that your sense is that what Barbara is saying is she's just got a lot on her plate to finish it. And what Barbara is saying is that she doesn't get the data in time to get it in shape in order to get it to us really before the second Saturday, and that there is a potential we should consider changing and meeting on the third Saturday. I don't know. Brian.
Oh, here, this one's on.
So there's two separate questions. I mean, one is our meeting schedule. Mm-hmm. We can have a conversation about that.
Right.
The other, and I think it's a simple question, can these be distributed by email? With whatever disclaimers about their incompleteness need to be stamped on them. And that seems to me like it's reasonable. If we can hand them out in paper, we can hand them out in email.
Yes.
And I think the more financial transparency we have, the better.
I agree. Yes, Margie.
I'm not interested in changing our meeting schedule. My life is complicated enough as it is. I think what we should do is agree that we will receive reports a month late so that, so this report would not, the May report would not include April. It would, like that.
She has done that sometimes.
Yeah, and I think that's okay. That gives more time. But the fact of the matter is that the reports are not complete until the end of the fiscal year, in an accounting sense, because there are things that all the things that happen, like people make pledges that they pay off over time and stuff like that. Anyway. So I just think a month late and by email is what I would prefer.
No, no. She's talking about usual accounting procedures. Yeah. You don't consider monthly reports as final.
That's right.
Mal.
As I understand it, and Andrea's point, I strongly agree with it. We can't comment on this that you handed out because we just got it.
Exactly. Right. Yes.
We haven't had a chance to look at it or understand it.
I thought I phrased the call for anybody's comments. If some people are watching certain line items and want to know and will maybe be... feel comfortable bringing it up in a meeting. Brian.
Yeah, so I mean, let's not get sidetracked with accounting terms. These are the financial statements we have, right?
Yeah.
These are the figures that our managers are looking at when they're figuring out whether or not we're on track or not, as they should be. And they're the figures. We recognize that some things may change in the process of reconciliation down the line. That's normal, but the question, and I understand the time constraint Maria's on turning them around, but for a lot of us, it would be helpful to have them in our email boxes as soon as they're available and not just on paper. I can do a search on something I have in electronic form. I can look at the underlying formulas and the support tabs so that when I have a question about something that doesn't look right, I can trace it to the things it's built on instead of taking up more of Maria's time. I just think we can be more useful that way.
Typically, Craig, when he was working full speed on this, would scan the documents that I pass out, and they would be in the minutes, but that's not an electronic copy that you can access. So I think we need to change it to have Maria put them in through the computer. Janet.
Well, I mean, I think what Brian is referring to is like the actual Excel spreadsheet, which has the formulas, right? So I am wondering why we get the column M, the percent really is the percent of the variance from the between the
from the budget, the budget, percentage right. of variance.
It's kind of like a double negative because, for example, what I'd be interested in seeing is the what was actually spent. Compared to what was budgeted. And so, for example, on line number 63, column M has minus 29.1%. And what does that really mean? To me, what that really means is what was spent was 29.1% above right. the budget, what was budgeted. And et cetera, or what percent was spent below budget? You know, that would be negative. That should show negative. So it's can that be provided to us instead of it being shown as like a double negative?
It's there.
I know that's the actual amount. I'm talking about the percent. What's in column M shows the percent.
You mean what money would be represented by that percent?
Well, also, so column L, so also line 63, shows a negative. Negative in terms of what? That the budget is, what was budgeted, what is below what was spent, or?
Yes.
Right. So, I mean, what I'm interested in seeing is the no. what is actually spent
this is
compared to the budget.
We that's spent fair. We Jay. Spent more than was budgeted.
Oh, you mean to the whole budget, not the budget year to date?
Yeah, the budget year to date.
That's column J.
It's right there.
Sorry, the budget is K, the actual is J.
I know the actual amounts are there, but I'm talking about columns L and M. And that they are showing that the budget is below the
no,
or budget
no.
is
in
below
expenses,
or above.
It's the opposite of the way it shows up in income.
Yeah, when you overspend, it's a negative variance.
What depending on what you're comparing to what, it's a variance of what the budget is compared to what is actual. I'm talking about the other way around. That's the way I would want to see it. What the actual is compared to what was budgeted. That's what I'm talking about.
So you want to flip the negative sign to a positive sign?
Yeah, but that's the calculation is producing these negatives, and that depends on what is divided by what. And I'm saying reverse what's divided by what, or add. I don't know. There's problems.
Well, there's some terminology that I hadn't never heard before until I became treasurer, and the CFO in charge then used better or worse. And so when it was worse, it was a negative. And when it's better, it was a positive. But you may not like it that way, but that's the way they use it. Just remember, Janet, better or worse.
Okay. Good one.
Anybody else? All right. I'm going to do whatever I can to pressure our business manager. First, we'll send you the ones that you got today. We'll send them electronically. And I'm going to ask that she make every effort to have her own review, find the things that might need to be corrected, and send a more, I don't want to say exact, but a more finished report. Yes, Brian.
First of all,
check it out, bro.
I want to say this seems to me a very complete report, and I am grateful that we are getting every month budget to actual statements that seem to be very accurate. It's a lot of progress from where we were a year ago, mm-hmm. and congratulations to the folks maintaining the accounting system at Pacifica. I know they've done things to make it easier to spit out these reports, mm-hmm. and to Maria for her hard work and everything she's gotten caught up on. And I don't think it's a question of completeness. I just think it's a question of getting it in our email inboxes, mm-hmm. in addition to on paper at the meeting, particularly for those board members who aren't here or for people who may want to pass it on to someone.
Well,
I just wanted to say that following the discussion we had last meeting, I think Jose Luis mostly flagged that we were way over budget on premiums, which mm-hmm. we still seem to be. I followed up with Maria on that, and I was curious, and then I compared it to our prior year's spending, and we're not off our prior year's spending. I think we made a budgeting mistake, or Pacifica's budget template forced us into a budgeting mistake, but it's not that we are spending more than we normally do, it's that we did not budget to spend as much as we normally do mm-hmm. on thank you gifts.
I had that raised a question with me about do you know how, I don't know how to figure out in here the ratio of how much we spend to how much per dollar to how much we make, because I remember at one discussion that I was privy to, I was told that it is common in nonprofits. In general, to spend 50 cents to get a dollar. And that's, you know, so I didn't know if...
That's horrendous.
But it's what is. And I didn't know what ours was. Is there a way to see this? Anybody know? And if you don't, tell me later.
I'm sure there is. I don't know how to figure that out, but...
You can do it. You can work from our year-end audit, which has classification by functional expense. Uh-huh. So one of the areas they divide things into is development, including, I believe they allocate salary expenses into there as well, which would not be on this division. And then you could use that as the denominator, and everything that came in as the numerator to get a figure.
Mel?
I have what's probably a silly question, but I don't understand it.
We need a laugh. Go ahead.
Excuse me?
We need a laugh.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. In line, let's see, what is it? In line 77, depreciation expense, we seem to have gone over budget by a small amount, and I don't know how that could happen, since this is just a line item that's set. We don't actually spend any money. So,
well, I can see that someone took a large figure and just divided this
right,
so that every month is the same. It appears that when we did the budget, we did not have whatever this depreciation figure was later given to us. It's from some inventory records where they put everything together in the national office. It used to be that the chief financial officer would assign a depreciation figure.
Right.
And I don't know if that's what happened this year or not. Brian?
If we bought a piece of equipment partway through the year, we would start depreciating it, a fixed asset. It would be added to our depreciation schedule. So we budget based on all the fixed assets we already have. But if we have an old piece of equipment, it's probably fully depreciated already.
Right.
Its value on our balance sheet is zero. And if it crashes and we have to replace it, then from the minute we purchase it, it starts depreciating. So that, I mean, you would expect some amount of variance on that line if our accountants were doing their job diligently every month.
someone should explain it to me diligently. I don't know.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you all.
Okay. Now, we had a break, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So, moving right along, the PNB report.
Okay. I'm ready. Take a deep breath, everybody. Here we go. Bumpy ride. Last week, CFO Raul Salvador informed the board that he was resigning. His last day of work is going to be May 15th. Did I share his resignation letter with the LSB? I intended. I did. I didn't? No? Okay. I'll do that. I meant to, and I will do that. In any event, my tenure as interim executive director ends tomorrow night at midnight, and on Monday morning, John Proffitt, who we have hired as a permanent executive director, will take over. He will be he's moved to Northern California. He'll be living in El Sobrante and working out of the national office next door to KPFA. And for the next couple of weeks, maybe longer, since we don't have a CFO, I don't even know, I will be there a lot, you know, to help him get oriented and so on. In addition to that, we had a part-time temporary accounting person who was working in the national office who quit, and he has been replaced by Robin Collins, who is a member of our CAB. I think she's notified the CAB that she'll have to step down from her CAB position because she's now an employee of the foundation. But
thank you.
But anyway, it's great having Robin there. In addition to that, let's see, did I cover all of those things? I have also resigned as chair of the national board this past year. Whipped me bad, and I need to reduce the level of my responsibilities in the organization. And there was an election to replace me, and Lydia Brezon from KPFK has been elected chair. We are currently, she was serving as vice chair, so we're currently in the middle of an election process for a new vice chair. So go, what keeps rolling
Thank
on.
You for your service. Let's have a round of applause.
Thank you.
It should be a standing ovation, but.
We're all too tired. last week, the board voted to remove Director Kim Kaufman from the board, and there is a report on the Pacifica webpage, a report out from that meeting that the discussion and vote were held in closed session, but the report out explains pretty much what happened, and it is on the webpage, and you can look it up.
I'm sorry, it's on the KPFA website?
No, it's on the Pacifica webpage. Last week, I completed a hire process, which had been ongoing for some time, appointing a new general manager at KPFK. There is a press release concerning that also on the Pacifica webpage. Her name is Leslie Radford. At WPFW, I have appointed a new interim, we've had an interim general manager since December when the previous interim general manager, Michelle Price Johnson, stepped aside, and I appointed Tiffany Jordan to replace her. Tiffany notified me last week that she is moving on with her career, and so I have appointed a new interim general manager at WPFW. His name is Jerry Paris, and Tiffany will remain at the station for a couple of months, but serving in the capacity as business manager and development director while she helps Jerry transition into the interim general manager position. That station is in the process of putting together a list of candidates for the permanent GM position. And I don't know where that process is. I haven't been informed, but That's their situation. On elections, we are going to have elections. Last week, the National Election Supervisor posted the election schedule, and it occurs to me that it probably didn't go to the LSB, so I will make sure that happens as well. And I can't, I'm sorry, I don't off the top of my head remember, but it's basically, it's very similar to our past election calendar, slightly delayed. So she has now listed the positions for the local election supervisors, and she will be hiring local election supervisors. And I think the record date is July 14th, which is Bastille Day, as I point out. So that's the date by which you must be a member in order to vote, and by which candidates must declare themselves. Currently, all stations are in fund drive, nobody's burning up the wires, bringing in the money, but everybody's sort of moving along in not too badly, but not as well as they would like. Finally, I was going to announce the in-person meeting, which Janet mentioned earlier. The board will meet in LA in person the weekend of June 12, 13, 14, is that right? Ending on Monday the 15th. During the board meeting dates, which I think will be the 13th, 13, 14, 15, no, I don't, that's not enough days. Is it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday? Anyway, Monday's the 15th. There will be public comment sessions each of those days, and anyone who wants to make their way down to Los Angeles is invited and will be allowed to speak directly live and in person to the national board. I think that's it. I'll ask Brian and Janet if they have anything to add, and then we'll take questions.
Janet and Brian.
Okay, so I was mistaken earlier when I said the dates of the in-person meeting. So it's actually June 12th through June 15th, as Margie just said. The vice chair, Margie, you didn't
mention? Yeah, I said we're in process of
okay.
Election.
All right, that's it. Never mind. Oh, sorry, one more thing. So at last week's meeting, the bylaws amendments, I had mentioned this earlier, were supposed to be taken up by the PNB, and it was voted to postpone that to May 21st. And just for your information, the removal of the director took place on April 30th.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm eating my M&Ms. Okay.
So to clarify what that means, the local board will have to vote on those bylaws within 60 days of the national board vote. So if the national board approves either of the two proposals in front of us, we will have until July 21st. Or I don't know if I'm actually about July 21st. On the finances front, we have 6-month year-to-date financial statements for the network as a whole. And on a station-by-station basis, some appear to be much more accurate than others. The quality of the bookkeeping is still inconsistent in the network. But with a lot of caveats that I'll throw in a minute, it looks much better than I think any of us expected it to look a year ago. So by way of background, our audit for fiscal year 2013 shows the network posted a $2.8 million deficit. So that's all 7 financial units of the network summed up. Our preliminary financial statements for 2014 show a deficit in the vicinity of $1 million. So dropping. So far, the first 6 months of the fiscal year, As a network as a whole, we are outperforming our budget, which means, absent the caveats I'm about to throw in, that would suggest we're on track to post a surplus. Now, here's the caveats. A big chunk of that is the windfall $1 million that came into KPFA. It makes the whole network look really good. The other is that we saved money on paper in the first 6 months of the fiscal year that are just expenses we were delaying. So we were budgeted to have already completed an election by now. We will complete that election, and we will spend that money. Because we were budgeted to have already done it, we look better than budget, but that's going to come back. Same thing with the in-person meeting that we're holding in June. We were budgeted to do it earlier in the year. On a station-by-station basis, KPFT and WPFW, our two small stations, are both basically breaking even. KPFA, if you go through these figures, it's pretty much the same as we saw at the six-month mark. We are meeting our budget, which basically means breaking even without the windfall money. With the windfall bequest money, we're way ahead. The national office is doing well, but most of its income is in the form of IOUs from stations that can't afford to pay it. So that means sometimes cash is very tight. WBAI's deficit has shrunk dramatically over the course of a couple years. Its budget shortfall last fiscal year was down to like $248,000. And right now, although it is underperforming its budget, its transmitter landlord is also accepting reduced rent payments. And it seems to be holding its head above water, almost self-sufficient. We did have to help out with the last payroll before their fund drive. The biggest money losers in the network right now are KPFK, which ran a deficit in excess of $600,000 in 2014. Yeah. And the bookkeep, that's one of the places the bookkeeping was a complete wreck, so we didn't really have an idea until about a month ago how bad it was. And the Pacifica Radio Archive, their fall fundraiser fell short of its goal by half. They were budgeted to have a spring fundraiser in April, which they did not have. So those two things combined put them short of their budget by about $140,000, and they have not made any cuts that I'm aware of to adjust to that new reality. In other news, the National Board's now considering a proposed lease for WBAI in New York. They're in a space in Brooklyn on Atlantic Avenue that is owned by a woman who's like a big WBAI fan and supporter, and seems to be basically wanting to do the station a favor. She houses a bunch of other movement organizations in the same building. The local Indie Media Center has their offices there. One of the splinters that came out of the Occupy Wall Street movement has offices there. And, you know, the board's basically taking the proposed lease through legal review. But compared to every lease they have ever had for every space that I've seen in the past 12 years, it's a bargain. And it's also a pretty remarkably central location. You know, you could get, and central Brooklyn, like pretty close to downtown. You could get a bargain in New York by going to the far fringes of the Bronx and never be able to get a guest from anywhere other than the Bronx to come up to your studios, like nowhere near a subway line. But this is like a block from subway stops on a busy thoroughfare, a very short trip from Manhattan. So that's all I got. We have a approved 2013 audit from our auditor, and now we've got to work like hell in a 2014 audit.
And we're just waiting for the management letter, which will be shared with the PMB for the 2013 audit. The management letter reports changes in operations that the auditors are suggesting to the organization.
Don't worry about it. Carol.
Andrea.
I have a couple questions. One, I'm concerned about Corporation for Public Broadcasting monies and where you guys are in that. And I just want to say I feel pretty disappointed that we're not moving closer to that, and that's not a higher priority here. I know that there's some people on the board who've expressed the desire to not take that crack money, but I haven't come to that same conclusion. I'm also interested in this. There has been a valid issue question raised about transparency in terms of the Pacifica National Board financials. And the notion that one PMB director was voted off the board, Kim Kaufman is no longer a member of the PMB, and that is based on some notion that she disclosed some documents. I do not want the particulars of those documents at this time, but I am curious, what are the documents that were shared that led to her expulsion from the Pacifica National Board?
So in response to an...
It's not allowed to... I'm sorry, let me clarify.
Yeah.
What is not allowed to be shared?
Got it.
Yeah. Okay.
So in response to an audit from the Office of the Attorney General, Pacifica staff compiled about 1.6 gigabytes of documents that were then shared with board members who requested them, and Kim was one of them. She apparently mistakenly copied someone she did not intend to on an email to Tracy Rosenberg and Summer Reese, who are not board members, describing her intent to send them the entire contents and specific documents, and also discussing a confidential employee investigation that had taken place after both of them left the board that they should not have been privy to. The documents she talked about sending them included payroll records with Social Security numbers of over 24 employees, executive session minutes of board meetings, including meetings at which the board was discussing legal strategy for cases involving Summer Reese, where she's on the other side of the legal proceeding, and various and sundry other properly confidential documents.
Yeah, and
talk about the
Janet.
Thank you. So also the transmission of all those documents to the AG's office was confidential. So the whole thing, even though many of us would want some of them to be public information, and they should, I think they should, but they're at this point they're not. And channels should be followed. Also, directors have a duty of loyalty that beyond local station board members, and that needs to be abided by as long as you're a director. If you don't want to follow them, then resign or leave the board. As far as the CPB grants, there are efforts to try to get that money, and I too have mixed feelings about the CPB grants, but the process is in place, is being followed to try to get that, and it was blocked for a while because by the CPB, because they were not they were unhappy with the all the turmoil and who had authority or whatever, so they this was last year, so they kind of locked us out. But we have been trying to we have access now, and so it's still an open question whether we will actually get the grants or not. One of the requirements is for the audits to be completed, and so we have the 2013 audit completed, and hopefully the 2014. Yes, yes, but we don't know. They might just say sorry, but we don't know.
Brian.
I see you're running out. If you want any more detail, I believe we've cleared the hurdle of reestablishing our compliance with open meeting requirements.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And do we have the word from them that they've accepted what we submitted?
Well, what they said last time was, if you can do this, if you can fix this on your next report, then everything will be fine. And Otis McClay is our technical person and our CPB compliance officer, and he has indicated that he has fixed that. And so that should be, it should be okay. He and John Krigler are working on the report right now. It hasn't been submitted yet.
Okay. And then basically we have to have up-to-date audits for whenever we get the funding reinstated. So now that means our 2014 audit. We can get extensions on submitting it we can apply for extensions on submitting it through June 30th. And then after that point, for every day that we're later, we lose 1/365th of the grant amount. So it's a prorated reduction based on lateness after that point. But it doesn't mean we don't get it. It means we get less.
Thank you. I've been remiss in thanking Ramses and SEIU, and also Patty, who reminded me by filling my face with delicious food.
Thank you, Patty.
So, thank you all for the, right? And what are those little fish
SEIU
things? Right. She brought them herself?
Yeah.
Or she brought
she asked me what.
How sweet you are. Thank you. That was very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Why are you
announcing us? Right. Okay. Any more on the PNB? Okay. Moving along. The CAB report plus 5 minutes.
Yes, a total of 10.
Right. So we've got until 1:25 to finish the CAB report. Oh, wrong. That was a joke, though. That was a joke.
Okay. So what we've done is develop what we call a community needs assessment, and we did that based on the PNB regulations that the CAB is mandated to prepare a report about the station needs and to submit it to the local station board. So I just want to underline, each station is encouraged to fashion its own maximum involvement of the community beyond the minimum requirements. It is the CPB position that only through enthusiastic and vigorous efforts can the intent of Congress, as reflected in the law, be fully realized. And so the CAB will prepare a report based on the CNA advising the governing body of the stations about the needs. And so what we have done is we have looked carefully, and not all the Pacifica regulations are as same as KPFA regulations, and so it's sort of a CAB is sort of a process of trying to find our way through this, but what we've done in this case is gathered information and consolidated our community feedback forms collected at CAB and other KPFA meetings and through the website. And we had our February 22nd meeting where we gathered information, and we had 57 participants. And beyond that, other people have submitted feedback to us. So I want to start off by saying there was a lot of positive feedback about KPFA. And I also want to thank everybody here who was at our February 22nd meeting, Margie and Carol and Frank. And it's really important to have that support. About 1/4 of the people reported using the KPFA website, while most listened to the radio. A number of people have said how much they treasure KPFA's archives and wish that it would be easier to access information through keywords on the archive search, and want programs shared through podcasts and YouTube. They want to increase the access to historically relevant interviews and speeches. And there are people in the community who have offered to help label archives and work on that, and that might be an important project. Local community news and public affairs was absolutely the most talked about part of our meeting and what we've gotten the most feedback about. There were more comments about it. Effective, diverse community programming, especially with more local focus, local news, and strong public affairs. You'll see a lot of repetition here. Local, more local focus and programming, reach local people about local issues, be dedicated to local news coverage, especially those not covered by other media sources. More time donated to local community organizations, have more local guests, more call-in time, geographically based programs devoted to local issues, more local programming, including regional and statewide coverage, in-depth local reporting, a space to include all voices, focus on people responding to local issues at events. Big shows shouldn't be put on KPFA. If local news is left out, electronic news bulletin board for community to send information directly to programmers. Recruit more news interns and allow people to submit recorded segments. Engage local reporters and interns, more citizen journalists, newsletter that provides topics so that when I'm busy, I could search for staff. Stuff 2 weeks later. Fierce independent news, no rip and read off the newswire. North Bay coverage, I'll help. Listen to listeners more. There's a lot of talent out there. Local programs like the Morning Mix have more local guests, more call-in time. So you can just scan through all the rest of that line and see a lot of issues about wanting local news. There was some feedback about programming and staff, have a local program council, criticism of high-pitched voice of uprising host. Some people said they like the new mix of radio announcers in the evening and the mix of people for news staff to meet and collaborate among themselves and with others. Continue getting more professional sound, does it reliably and factually covers news and issues not covered elsewhere, balance with rebuttals before and after, more voices, more panels and interviews. I don't think KPFA should support. However, KPFA should make sure the voices not heard on other media are heard. A purpose, not idealism. So then there were some things about Democracy Now! And the big picture and trying to coordinate the different programming so that some people felt like sometimes you'd hear something on Democracy Now! And then right afterwards you'd hear the same thing on other news and wanting global economic reach into African countries and capitalism, Palestine and Israel, pro-Palestine views, eliminate federal-centric language like here in the U.S. Robin's going to talk a little bit before I lose my voice.
Well, we got a lot of feedback from a lot of people, and rather than reading every line item, because we included a lot of it, and anybody that wants the feedback forms, we're happy to share them. But the environment needed more talk. The program council kept coming up. The local issue and local city development was a big problem. Actually, Philip Madari ended up doing a really good show the next Sunday just because of hearing about stuff that he had no idea was going on. So it was really important for the community to come together and let us know what they wanted to talk about. And it was very helpful that the programmers actually showed up, listened, and did programs to support that. So I think that the CPB should know about that. We also had a lot of talk about how to get the youth and get more young people involved through social media and media resources, learning how to use Twitter and Facebook and how to get the young people involved, making more space available for them. Let's go on. Basically, the main thing also, besides we wanted to actually read all of this to you guys, so it would be a part of the record, but obviously the meeting went on a lot longer than we thought it would today, and I'm going to give you a break if you'll promise to read it. Can I get you? Okay.
It's going to be sent out with the minutes. I'm going to scan it and send it.
Thank you. Yeah. I also want to highlight a couple things. I want to highlight the area about live audio video streaming of local actions and events on the website and what happened. And one of the things...
What page are you talking about?
I'm down on to... Thank you. One of the things, Cindy Mitchell was at this meeting, who is a woman who's brother was shot 40 times while sitting in front of his car in Vallejo. And, you know, the issue of Black Lives Matter is really important. And I know, like, a lot of people at this meeting talked about live streaming and the importance of wanting live streaming. And I know that some of us were really happy that finally we were able to do the live streaming of this major, major event of people of labor supporting opposition to police terror. And when we have these kinds of events, you know, the local station board did pass a motion in support of live streaming, and the kind of feedback that we got from the station management was that people don't care about live streaming. They don't want to see it. It's not important. This is not the way of the future. We're not C-SPAN, but I'm feeling like we want to continue and have a dialogue, and I want to end by saying that on the last page, you will see that the Community Advisory Board is charged with preparing this kind of a report, and also part of the PMB regulations is that the station management is charged with, it says, the station management shall produce a document stating programming goals for the station and submit it to the CAB for review no later than May of the year. So what we are asking, and I would be welcoming of a motion in support of this from any board member who would like to make it, but that the station management produce a document stating programming goals for the station and submit it to the CAB for a review. And so we're at May, so I would change that to, you know, give them a couple of months or something, maybe June of or July of 2015. But I think when we have a document that's talking about we do want these things and how are we going to move forward to meet youth, and one way to move forward to meet youth is to work with Twitter and learn how, you know, when somebody's doing live streaming, it's not just live streaming, it's people Twittering all over, thousands and thousands of people, and that's what young people do. That's what people in the Black Lives Matter movement are doing, and Occupy, and global warming, and all these issues are being Twittered. So are we going to move forward? You know, I don't want C-SPAN, but I do want something relevant.
Okay. Lastly, we do have recommendations on the last page. So please enjoy, peruse as your Sunday paper.
Thank you both. David?
Just a point of information to the last. Just a point of information to the last point that we've heard from the news department, those of us who do reports, that we will now be expected to be tweeting from live events that we cover. So I, for one, will have to get up to speed on my Twitter.
You sound so thrilled.
I can't conceal it. Anyway, just want you to know that this is coming about. Slowly but surely, it will happen.
Janet.
Yeah, I want to thank the CAB members for all the work that you've been doing. I just, speaking of tweeting and live streaming, I just learned about two apps that when you live stream, it automatically gets tweeted out. So
tell
that's
David.
Okay.
I learned about an app. I know I'm interrupting, but I don't.
Yeah, Meerkat and Frank. What was the other? Periscope.
Oh. I learned about an app that automatically sends it to old age brain freeze. But it goes automatically to a news organization so that if you get a video of somebody being beaten by the police, even if the police take and destroy your phone, it's already been...
It's the
ACLU did that. That's right. No, but I'm sure it's on the ACLU. It's the National ACLU website, and they've been promoting it, so it goes right to them. Yeah.
I would just like to make that motion that the CAB, had asked one of us to make, and I had the paper, but she just took it back. So the motion would be that the station, we ask that the station management shall produce a document stating programming goals for the station and submit it to the CAB for review no later than July of 2015. Addressing live video stream topics and topics submitted by the CAB report, submitted in the CAB report. Documents that they submitted in that are submitted in the CAB report that they just handed out to us.
What is the motion? I'm sorry. Oh, you're going to write it down for me.
Yeah, it's kind of written here, but I need to copy it better. So basically, I say it one more time. We ask that the station management shall produce a document stating programming goals for the station and submit it to the CAB for review no later than July of 2015. Addressing topics from the CAB report, including live video streaming, video audio streaming.
Second.
And I think this is basically a motion that we passed in the past, and now the time has elapsed, and basically we're asking to take in the information in this report into consideration and then actually do the programming goals. So we passed it earlier, but time has passed on that, so they're asking us to refresh it.
Okay. Mel?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, it sounds nice, but if it's based on this report, I haven't had a chance to read it yet. So I don't know how I can vote on it.
Actually, it's just to take it in consideration, the report.
Okay, I have.
Okay.
Use the microphone. Are you done, ma'am? Are you done? Okay. Carol, then Margie, and then Brian.
We just earlier today gave the general manager a big assignment, and I think the general manager has a lot of big assignments on their plate, and I'm just concerned about us piling on when there's a lot of stuff going on right now. I'm just expressing my reaction to it, in terms of all the stuff that's happening at the station and going in and telling him yet another thing to do from the LSB when there's a firestorm happening, plus we already gave him a big task. That's how I'm reacting to it, not in general or in principle, but just in terms of operations at this time.
Margie, then Brian.
Well, as I read the document, it's quoting minutes from a PMB meeting, which happened in March of 2010, which says that the station management shall produce a document stating programming goals for the station and submit it to the CAB for review no later than, and it just says
May of each year.
May of each year. And I think that's fine. I think it should be tied to the fiscal year. I don't think we should be demanding that now. I agree with Carol. I think, you know, life is complicated enough. I don't support adding the additional language. I think that we should remind management that this was passed. In the past, and that this is something that they're expected to do, and I think we should say, you know, by the beginning of the new fiscal year rather than July. That's an amendment. But I'm not interested in the other stuff. I don't think it's appropriate at this time.
Okay. Brian, then Frank.
Well, I support Margie's amendment. Is that to substitute October 1st for
yes.
July?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to speak to something else, so maybe we should dispose of her amendment first.
Okay. State your amendment. Amendment.
My amendment has two parts. One would change July to October 1st, and then it would delete the language that says addressing live streaming and other topics from the CAB 2015 report.
Okay. So that what it would essentially do is have the language that came out of the PNB
right.
and change the date
right.
so that it goes with the fiscal stuff.
Right.
Okay. So in that connection, so on discussion, Janet?
I'm sorry, where is the motion that Margie...
It's on the last page.
But it doesn't refer to live streaming on the last page.
No, it doesn't. That was added. This is what Margie's amendment addresses.
That's what you added. Okay. All right. So I just want to say, as far as producing a document stating programming goals for the station, that should be, I mean, there's no work involved in that. That should be already in existence, so it's just locating it. So I can't
really?
See why there would be a delay.
Why
would it have to wait until October? Doesn't the general manager and the program director have programming goals for KPFA?
Frank?
Also, I think due to the amendment, I believe that the CAB has done so much work here to accumulate all this information. It's part of the their job to produce this information to provide to the general manager, so I don't see why they wouldn't want to take this information into consideration. And now I really firmly believe that the video streaming, it's not going to go away, for one thing. It's going to just proliferate. It's going to become more and more involved in the station. And I think we could see that the management has become aware of that by the controls they've now put on it. When we used to be able to just pop up at a protest and start streaming instantly, and it would be available on kpfa.org. But now that they have eliminated that, like if I'm walking back to my car or whatever and there's like a huge protest passing by, I could instantly whip out my phone and just be live on kpfa.org. But that's already been taken away. So I think the video streaming aspect, trying to eliminate that from the conversation is just problematic. We just, you know, wrote up a whole motion to ask him to address a process for video streaming.
So doesn't need to be here.
Well, I think he should take that into programming consideration when he writes his programming goals. I mentioned earlier about these great speeches that Talks at Bob Baldock organizes. Well, it kind of limits our ability to raise funds by the people that could fit into that building or that are localized to attend. But if we make it the price of a ticket to get a link to a live stream, you can get people from around the country or around the world to actually pay for a ticket that could virtually be there. So properly done, you could double the capacity of a Bob Baldock talk by having the same amount of people sitting there in the audience watching a live video stream. And all this talk about off-air fundraising and other things that we could do, I really think that we're going to be missing the bus on a good way to bring some off-air income by, they do an excellent job promoting those talks that Bob Baldock organizes. Why not have a PSA running that says you can get a link for a donation to KPFA and watch it live as it happens? It's a very reasonable, very realistic goal for KPFA to raise funds this way. And the resistance to it is bewildering to me. When our goal is just taking bequest money to shorten fund drives, because we're trying to use that money and shorten these fund drives. But this is another form of off-air fundraising. It's not taking up any KPFA airtime. It's only taking up a little small corner of the internet, the website, that people could actually pay to watch something. And so I think keeping the streaming part in there, and of course the CAB report, which is their job to bring information to the general manager, to making program and, you know, program director, to making their program decisions. They just arranged lots of meetings from the public to give this input to the manager. You know, their work would almost seem in vain if he didn't take it into consideration with his programming decisions. Are you asking me to add this as a separate amendment? So she is asking to maybe change it a little bit to make it helpful for you guys to see the light, or?
Please,
to clarify.
Why don't you guys write it down and ask the floor again?
Well, if you guys want to hold on a second, I could. She's written it, but I've got to see how it goes.
Well, I'm not sure we do want to hold on a second. Right. Well, you can come back when you've got it written down. You're not on the board, Carol.
Go ahead.
All right, Brian.
Okay, let's finish. The station management shall produce a document stating programming goals for the station and submit it to the CAB for review no later than the date that, she's amended
October.
October, including local community news and public affairs, live video and audio streaming, social media, and connection with the community. And basically, she took some of the topics out of the document and put them to the list, if that's what makes you happy. So, personally, I think that the manager should take this report and use it.
Time.
Know, it's a tool. And so.
Time.
Thank you.